Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. To learn more about City Place Church, visit cityplacechurch.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at City Place Church.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Yes. This is my favorite day of the week. It is always my favorite day of the week.
Yes.
It's been 7 whole days since we've seen you here in our living room. So welcome back.
Welcome. We pray that your week was better than last week's and that your faith in Jesus is growing higher. My name is Damon, my wife Taisha, and we are the lead pastors of City Place Church. And we just want to welcome you online today. We can't physically meet in person, but we said, man, we are still going to gather together spend some time together.
We would love to do that. And we're so excited that you're here. We're here. You're here.
That's right.
Are you in your PJs? Do you have your bed hair? Like, what do you have going on this morning? Grab your kiddos. I'm excited for our time in God's word this morning. When you get yourself set, go ahead and grab your Bible, your notebook, get ready to lean in because we are about to go there this morning.
Right.
You know, I told somebody just this week, I said, you know, today is better than yesterday and that day was better than the day before. And, you know, I get this overwhelming sense that we are moving forward, slow but sure. Things are getting better and our hope is rising. And so I'm just encouraged this morning to be with you.
That's right. And tell us your name, where you're from. We would love to say hello. Our team is here for you and we just want to greet you. Thank you for spending time with us this morning. And honestly, this morning, we recognize the season of life that all of us are in. But there's just something on the inside of us this morning that really wants us to focus on Jesus.
Yeah.
And really wants to highlight who he is and encourage you a little bit. The last few weeks, we talked about we're in a moment. And then last week, we talked about changing the narrative. And Pastor Ty said that there were 5 pieces. That was some good stuff. I was thinking about that all week, by the way. And I wish I would have said it. But there's the 5 parts of a narrative. And this morning, we're just going to spend some time and jump into God's word. And the whole purpose is for us to focus on Jesus. Find Jesus in this moment and let him encounter us right where we are.
That's right. You know, like we just do want to acknowledge though the times we're in. Obviously, these are unprecedented times. It's not to minimize that in any way. So some of us are going to be dealing with stages of crisis at varying times and varying degrees, and we completely understand that. We also know that in the middle of every crisis, in the middle of every day, non-crisis included, Jesus still is the hope of the world. And so this morning we come with that in our backpacks, right? That in our minds and locked and loaded as our arsenal, that no matter what we face, no matter what hardships we face, whether it be emotional or financial, or maybe grappling with the fact that you're a new homeschool mom or dad, or too many people in your private space, you know, all these kinds of things are very, very natural, but we know that Jesus is the hope of the world and totally deserving of our attention this morning.
That's right, and we see you guys commenting there. Keep commenting. This is a conversation that we're excited to have. And as Pastor Ty said, we're going to just pray this morning because we realize that all of you, all of us are going through the emotions of life. But as pastors, we've committed our life to Jesus in the focus of encouraging people to see Jesus in the middle of everything.
Totally.
And so let's just pray. One of the things that you and I talked about as we were preparing was having a level 10 approach to what we pour out during our moments of being online with people. And how would we define level 10 so that everyone's like, level 10?
Right. So we all are talking in the same language, right? So it's super easy when you're in the virtual environment to be like, oh, this is a great time for me to multitask.
Yeah.
I could also wash my dishes. I could also,
You're
going to give a level 10.
Gotcha.
A level 10 means just as if we were sitting face to face in a coffee shop and I was listening and I was intent, I would give you eye contact. I would be amening. I would say, that's right. I would say, oh, I've got a little note for you, or repeat something you said.
Yeah.
And so we want to invite you to lean in this morning and do the same. So at City Place, you know, we will say amen, or that's right, that resonated, or we'll repeat something that really stuck out to us. And so use the chat for just that just that purpose, whether you're on Facebook Live or YouTube or whatever, even if you're watching it after, you can still add in those comments just the same. But it also means that you're committed and we're committed to showing all the way up this morning. So if you're going to give a level 10, like we're going to give it a level 10, can you put two high fives in there? You can either put 5 and 5 in there, you can put 10 in there, or you can put two little emoji hands in there, raise them up. It's a level 10 that just means I'm bringing it this morning, God. I'm ready to hear what you have to say.
That's right. And so we're going to pray. If you have your Bibles with you, if not, your smart device, your phone, whatever it is that you're going to use, we're just going to jump into God's Word. We'll pray. Matthew chapter 14, our team is going to post what it is right there on the screen. A shout out to the City Place Church Dream Team for all that you
the
do,
best.
Making weekends happen online. We're so grateful for you. Matthew chapter 14, go right there. It's in God's Word. It's in the New Testament of the Bible. And by looking at our table, it looks like we're on level 10. We got technology. We got paper, just in case technology goes out.
Pencil.
Like, we got everything. So, hey, grab you a sheet of paper, your Bible, whatever it is, and let's all go level 10, and let's believe that we can encounter Jesus. Lord Jesus, we love you today. We invite you into our time together in this conversation. Jesus, you are fully aware of this moment that the world is going through. But Lord, on this day, this Sunday morning, we're going to pause and give you our full attention. Because Lord, we need to hear you speak. We need you to show up. We need you to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. In this portion of Matthew that we're about to read now this morning, we just want to set the scene because like Pastor said last week, we talked about the narrative. So we're very attuned into storying and figuring out who the key players are and what's exactly happening. And so we find ourselves right after a very popular scripture. Now, whether you know the Bible in and out or not, you likely know the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. We know that it was a miracle, or it was only a little bit of food that had to be multiplied to meet the needs of a lot of people. And you know, the disciples are there as Jesus is ministering. They're kind of far away from everything. It's not like the convenience store or Super Walmart or Super Target's up the street. And they magically, supernaturally rather, multiply that food and are picking up the fragments. Now, can you imagine after dealing with such a crowd? Have you ever been at the place where it's like you did the big project or you were, you know, working on something and it was like the big thing? What happens immediately after that? You are exhausted. You're exhausted. And this is exactly the state of where we've set the scene now this morning as we're getting ready to read in Matthew 14.
All right. You ready? Let's take a drink. We lean in. Everybody lean in. Here we go. Matthew chapter 14. It says this in verse 22. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home, the 5,000 that Pastor Ty was just talking about. After sending them home, Jesus went up into the hills by himself to pray. Then night fell while he was there alone. Verse 24. This is where it gets kind of good. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble because they were far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves in the boat. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, they were terrified and they were in fear. Say fear.
Fear.
In fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them and said, "Do not be afraid." Everybody say fearless.
Fearless.
"Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called and said, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come walking on the water in the middle of the crash and the boat going crazy." And Jesus said this, "Come, come, because I've stepped in."
That's
I had
so
to die,
good.
I've stepped in at the end.
Uh-huh, it's the Damon Moore version mixed in with the other version. I love this scripture because we see a couple of key things that are happening. So we know that the 5,000 were there. We know that the disciples and Jesus are likely exhausted. I mean, to be honest, Jesus is the one that recommends that they get in the boat and go to the other side. Why? So you can have a minute to yourself. So when you don't want to be on and it's time for you to kind of, you know, collect yourself and get back. And so the disciples are like super probably pumped about that. You only want to be around people so much. Can I get an amen, introverts? And then you want to get a little recharge. And so Jesus says, look, I got a plan for you. We're going to get in the boat. Why don't you guys go first, though? And Jesus does a couple of key things that we should not miss. Mm-hmm. He dismissed the crowd. That's mm-hmm. number one. He looses from kind of like what the thing is that has everybody all wound up and on that big high. He goes up to the mountain by himself for what purpose? Mm-hmm. To pray, because Jesus needs to be refilled just the same way that everybody else needs to be refilled.
So
and he gives us some insights on what that looks like, that refueling process. He goes up by himself to pray, and then it says evening comes and we come into a little predicament with the disciples in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Now, we've actually been in this place.
Yeah.
Just this last summer, we got the opportunity to travel to Israel, and setting the stage, it's really interesting.
Like small.
It sounds like it's
yeah.
a lake.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I used to go to the lake when I was a little girl with my family, used to go to the lake, and you can see one side of the lake if you stand on the edge. You know, you can see from one side to the other. This is not the case on this particular body of water. This is a very large,
yeah.
large body of water, kind of encompassed by two ridges, at least it is in present day, and it you know, intended where you can see the elevation of the land, and then there's this body of water underneath, and it is large,
yes.
y'all. It is large. With no motors, with no nothing, this is back in the day, and we find ourselves in this interesting time where it says, at night.
Mm.
At night. And, you know, I thought about that, and I did a little bit of research to understand exactly what might this time know. Another version, in my version, in NIV, it says in the fourth watch of the night in verse 24. It says during the fourth watch of the night. And what does that mean? In old Roman times, they borrowed watches of the night. It was essentially the night broken up into 3-hour time crunches. So from sundown for 3 more hours, that's the first watch. And then from 9 to midnight would be the second watch. And then midnight to 3 was the third watch. And so the fourth watch of the night is around 3 a.m. It's that period of time just before the sun is about to rise again. And so when we do the math, then, just putting ourselves here in the setting, the disciples would be in the middle of the sea. And the Bible says there was the winds and the waves were contrary. It says that it was crazy, that they started to get fearful. But let's not lose sight of the fact of how long they had been in there. Let's do some quick math. 3 + 3 + 3, that's 9. They've been in the middle of a boat, in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the sea, away from land, because that's what the Bible tells us, and away from Jesus. Who's praying far away from them. They've seen Jesus save people. They've seen people, you know, they've seen him when he's physically there, but Jesus is not here. Jesus is not here. They're in the middle of what seems like an insurmountable circumstance, and they've been there for 9 hours.
Wow.
I don't know about you, but that's not the most comfortable place when
no.
I think of the setting.
No, because if we think about them being in the middle, thinking that they're seeing a ghost, it says that they were afraid. They cried out in fear. Is it a ghost? It leads me to believe, like, they were saying, we can't handle one more thing.
I can't.
Like, we're on this boat, we can't get off, and then we look out, and we see that. This is too much. It causes me to think that fear only breeds more fear.
Can you even imagine this fear of seeing the ghost, of what they thought was a ghost, as you said, was just a compound of what they're already afraid of. Can you imagine? First row, the winds and the waves, you're rowing and you're not getting anywhere. You're exhausted because you've just come off of this great big miracle high. You're physically exhausted because you're rowing. In your mind, you're going, am I gonna die here in the middle of the ocean? You know they had to be thinking about it because it says the winds and the waves are crashing. This is not a cute little calm party. This isn't even just them being fearful of a ghost. This is them being afraid in general. Afraid to die, afraid that I'm gonna die without Jesus, afraid that I've now, nobody's even gonna ever find me. There's no lifeboats. There's nobody coming to save you on their special military boats. Nobody's coming. I am afraid. So by the time they get to this place where Jesus is walking on the water, they're double afraid. And their fear has just fed on itself. And they're probably at such a high that it's inexplainable.
Yeah.
And have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? Are you there now?
See, the reason why we have a little bit more oomph of passion this morning is because we are seeing fear played out, not just from you, but even our community. We can see it on TV, and we just felt like this morning, we've got to find Jesus, and we've got to just encourage you to let you know that he is here, but we have to let him step in. I love it that fear breeds more fear. I was telling you a little bit earlier that the whole design of the director of a horror movie is to increase the level of fear during the movie.
Right.
You know, the director's like, I'm gonna start him off with this. It'll just be the background music, and then it'll be the person walking in the woods, and the squirrel will jump out, and then by the end, it's this and it's that. The director's whole design is to increase fear, so that you live in terror as you watch the movie.
And not only as you watch the movie, but after. I mean, how many people go to a horror movie and don't have like horrible dreams for the next few weeks? I mean, my kids will see something very innocent, and it's that fear that starts there, and it starts there, but then it lives on. And you know, the Bible tells us, hey, when you get these thoughts, I want you to understand that you have control over that you have the ability to take them captive, that you have to say, stop. This is a negative emotion. This is a fear emotion. This is something that is going contrary to what my God that I serve, who is in control, would have me to feel. And let me figure out how I come and have authority over that thing, that fear, that thought. And the Bible gives us tools and how to do that.
That's right. Fear breeds fear. And here's the thing. The director is trying to get us more and more fearful. The Bible says that you and I have an enemy, the devil, whose whole design is to increase fear in our life so that it can disconnect us from being able to hear God, see God, encounter God, believe in God. But this is what the Bible also says. It says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, and God makes it clear. He goes, I haven't given you the spirit of fear. I give you power, love, and a sound mind. So let me just let you know that if you ever think fear is of me, like, no, contrast, I am trying to make sure that you don't live in fear. I want you to live in full faith. Is it a ghost? No. I'm here because I want to calm your storm, not increase your fear. That's what Jesus said.
Yeah, and the reason that that's so important is really the second point of that we have for you this morning, and that is that fear clouds your judgment. Mm-hmm. You know, when you, going back to the horror story, how many of us have been like, are you serious? You know the guy's out there. Why are you going to open the door with a flashlight? Like, you know why? Because when you are in a state of panic, we do some really bizarre and dumb things. Now, the people sitting eating popcorn can critique all day long because they're not in that scenario. But the truth is, these natural human emotions do some really crazy things. Yeah. Now, I just want to ask you this morning, maybe you would say, hey, maybe my heart is not troubled. I'm not concerned health-wise, but maybe I'm super concerned about being a new homeschool mom or dad, or maybe I am financially concerned about what might happen with my job or how I will keep everything together and what will happen as I, you know, go to the grocery store or care for a loved one. These kinds of things are fear emotions. And I want to just say one more thing. Not only does the enemy come in, but his tools and tactics, they're not fair. Fear comes in to take over. It doesn't come in to share space. Fear doesn't say, here, I'm here in your mind, and oh, here, I'll make some room so that you can have some faith too. I'll scoot over. No. Yeah. Fear comes in and says, I'm taking over, which completely clouds our judgment unless it gets evicted. Mm-hmm. See, we cannot both occupy our mind, our hearts, our spirits cannot share the space with fear and faith. They live completely mutually exclusive, meaning that it's one or it's the other. They do not play fair. So fear comes in to say, I'm going to have you do and make knee-jerk reactions and emotional decisions, and I'm going to have you do that quick. I am not here to play fair. Fear clouds our judgment.
That's good. Fear, that's good. I like that it doesn't play fair. It doesn't play fair. And here's a result of, if we're not careful, one of the things that we always say, and Ty will encourage me, is don't make a long-term decision in a temporary circumstance. We said this last week. We've been encouraging City Place to think in decades and not days, so that in moments like this, when all of us are being hit with crazy amounts of information and reality, we don't want to make a long-term decision in the moment of time. And so if we're living in fear, we're clouding our judgment. The reality is that fear is also causing us to redirect our energy.
Yeah.
We're worrying, we're living in doubt, we're questioning God, we're wondering where he is. Some people you may know might be going, well, are you the cause of this? And it could cause us to redirect our energy and just say, well, this is how I'm going to react, this is how I'm going to respond. But I love that Peter, who had been in fear for, like you said, that amount of time, when others saw a ghost, Peter said, Jesus, if that's you, I want to direct my attention to chasing after you, because I need to find you now.
I think that's so critical. And coming back to our story, that moment is everything, because here's the deal. We still have a choice. Mm-hmm. Now, fear will try to suck the energy out of the room. It will say, you have nothing left to give. Yeah. I will take every bit of your attention. I will take your physical attention. I will take your emotional attention, and I will leave you with scraps to survive on. Mm-hmm. That is what happens. But Peter, in this moment, he's kind of like the blind man. Can you just see him spiritually? It's probably foggy. It's 3 a.m. It's dark. And he's looking and he sees something, and it's like, I am so afraid. I am so afraid even of this ghost, but I will be so pacified. I know what my heart yearns for, and it is for Jesus, who was praying and supposed to meet us, to be anywhere close to me. So if it's anything that even looks or smells like Jesus, I am going to call out. I am going to inquire. I am going to find it, because I have to redirect my energy. I have to take my energy off of something that is in my heart and trying to captivate me to somewhere where I know will give me life. That's, and if so Jesus is anywhere close, I know my God will come to save me.
So good. So good. As you were talking, I was thinking about the times when our boys were at night having a bad dream, and they were crying out to us. And if we didn't respond, they came running to us. Yeah. Dad, mom. Why? Because they knew that we could respond to their fear.
Yeah.
They knew that we had the power to bring peace in that moment. And I love what you just said.
And sometimes, you know, just like a parent would, I don't rudely send my child back to bed because they've had a bad dream. If it means that they need to snuggle up with me, then so be it. But just my presence
yes.
helps them process to say, baby, that was just a bad dream. And now let me tell you what your reality is. Times where we would go and pray over them and begin to help them change their mindset. It was everything. And can you just imagine this morning a God who would say, you know, fill your name in there. My son, my daughter, you are worried about what is it? Now, God, now I am here. This is what you perceive it to be, right? That's like a bad dream. This is what you perceive it to be. Let me tell you what the reality is. And this is where the script gets flipped. This is where the narrative gets flipped, building on from last week, because you have what we see and what God sees. That's which it. One is the reality? Mm. What we see and what God sees. Which one is the reality? It's a fair question. Go ahead and answer for me in the chat. Which one is the actual reality? So if what I see is sort of like my son or daughter, I don't have a daughter, but like my son or daughter having a bad dream, and I as the parent say, no, this is the reality. That was just a dream. Then superimpose that same concept. This is what we see. This is just but a dream. If God tells us that is not the truth, that is not my reality.
Matthew chapter 14, Peter, the disciples in the boat, gives us a clear example that in the unknown moment, in a moment when fear is setting in, that's the perfect time to cry out for Jesus. If you're on hanging out with us today and you're like, well, who are these guys talking? I want to see what's going on. And maybe you haven't spent a lot of time in church. Now's the perfect time to cry out. Now's the perfect time. For those of you who are living in high faith, now's the time to cry out. Fear starting to creep in, now's the time to cry out. Why? Because Jesus is walking on the water, and doesn't say he was being tossed to and fro. The Bible says that he was walking in the middle because he wanted them to know that when I step in, things change. Things change. You and I can cry out to Jesus right now. Come on, right now, right where you are. Say this after me. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
I welcome you into this time.
I welcome you into this time.
Show up for me.
Show up for me.
Bring peace.
Bring peace.
I'm chasing after you.
I'm chasing after you.
It's that simple. We want to find Jesus, and we want to find him Right, right. Now, so what can your response be? Let's go practical. What can your response be right now? You see Jesus. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's an image. Well, what should we do when we're in the middle of a moment where we need an answer? Chase after him. But what does that look like?
Yeah. The first thing, there's two things that we will offer to you this morning. And the first one is very simple. And we've already begun to do it when we say lean in. And I would say this involves leaning in spiritually as well. And that's prayer. You know, God does not slap Peter on the hand to say, you weakling, you know what I mean? Like, you cried out to me. In fact, crying out to God is not a sign of weakness at all. He looks to him and is like, yeah, well, you're the only one who's about to walk on water today. You, the one who cried out and was vulnerable. And so praying to God is that act. It's saying, God, this is my real emotion. This is how I really feel. Now teach me what to do in this. Teach me. I'm going to reach out my hand like Peter did as I feel like I'm sinking. I feel like I'm overwhelmed. Praying to God is a source of our strength.
I loved how you just gave the example of like real talk with God. Like, you didn't have any cliches or anything. It was just like, God, this is me. Prayer is simply talking with God. It's conversation with God. Now, here's the thing. You talk, but you also have to listen. We talk, we have to listen. It's praying with God.
Yeah, I love Psalms 34:4 that says, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me and he freed me from all of my fears. Not just one fear, but all of them. It means he doesn't get tired of us. It means that, you know, it's not old. For a friend, you can only pick up the phone and tell them your issue so long until they're like, are we done yet with that issue? And God is not afraid of that. He is not nervous. He is not overwhelmed. And he's not judgmental, saying, you horrible thing, you, what you did. And so he comes. And the only thing that he asks is for us to be vulnerable and for us to be honest and to begin to have that conversation. The second practical tool that we leave you this morning is to read and study God's word. You know, and this is not the season. This is not the time for us to be hoping for a quick fix and a quick Cliff Notes version of what God would say. It's not the third party, let me just hear it from somebody else, or a quick quote on Instagram. This is God saying, you know what? I'm going to give you the tools for success. Everything that you need has been written in my word, that it was applicable then, and it still lives and still speaks and is still applicable to you now. There's so many resources available nowadays too, technological ones that are, you know, like, we just are primed to be able to dive into them, apps and things that can really help increase our life. Which one?
I like YouVersion.
I do too, because they have built-in Bible study plans. So even if you go, but I don't know what to study, somebody can help you with that to get the practical steps. But I say all of that to say that studying God's word takes the guesswork out of it, because it's not what I think or what pastor thinks. It's not what somebody else thinks. It's what God is saying for this season. And there is no substitute for his word.
Yeah. Here, as Pastor Ty was talking, she was talking about the word of God. Like, here's a really cool verse in Hebrews chapter 11. It's found in the New Testament of the Bible. In Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes, we're pursuing God. Like, are you there? I'm coming to you. He says, he who comes to God, believe that he's there. Like, and guess what? He rewards those that diligently come after him. So, like, I know that's just a scripture verse that we pulled out, and you might say, well, okay, but what this verse is faith over fear.
Yeah.
Like, go to God. I'm searching for God. And God doesn't go, ha, ha, ha. God's like, I'm stepping in. I'm here. And since you chase after me, I'm going to show you that I'm real. I want to encourage some of you today. Some of you are watching me, and you've been questioning whether God is real, because you can see others, and you might say, oh, they're spiritual. Can I tell you that God, in the practicalest form of your communicating with him, can meet you right now to show you his reality? He wants to do that. And before we leave, we're going to give you that opportunity. It's your faith. It's your faith to say, yeah, everyone else may not be thinking about this, but I'm going to find God in this. Because when I chase, he says, if I chase him, then he's going to be found. And I'm going to get an encounter with him that I dreamed about.
You know, one last bit of practical wisdom we had for you this morning. So we talked about prayer, we talked about the importance of God's word. And I will offer you a bonus, and that is this. do not fear the fourth watch of the night. You know, as we kind of set the stage over that darkest hour when the disciples are in the boat and they're worried. Again, just like last week, we have the wonderful ability to see the end of the story. They didn't. And just like those disciples who were in the middle at that moment, we don't know how all of this plays out. We don't know the number of our moments and our times together here on earth. And we don't know the end of our story, but Jesus does.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of great things happened in the Bible during the last watch of the night, the fourth watch of the night. And symbolically, I want you to just hear, so many of you will be able to know and understand these, but Jacob wrestled with God in the fourth watch of the night. Moses led the Israelites across the Red Sea. Gideon defeated the Midianites. The angel appeared to the shepherds to announce Jesus's birth. And Jesus was resurrected from the dead in the darkest time of the day, the fourth watch of the night. And I just want to encourage you this morning, no matter where you are, no matter where you find yourself, again, just being vulnerable and kind of saying, God, help me investigate. Help me investigate what my real feelings are this week and this moment. Help me understand that this isn't the darkest moment where, you know, I have to be fearful, but it instead, help me exchange it for faith according to your word.
Yeah.
Help me exchange my fear for faith. Why? Because Jesus is here.
That's right.
Because Jesus is here. Can you see the line on Miss Doubtfire with me? It's like my one of my favorite lines. And it's when Robin Williams is as Miss Doubtfire. She's coming and she goes, "Help is on the way, dear. Help is on the way, dear." And it's sort of like Jesus going, no, you needed to be in this place so that I could demonstrate I'm a miracle worker for the masses, but I am here for you too. And I want you to know that I am your miracle worker. Jesus is here. Help is on the way. Jesus is here.
That's so good. Come on, y'all. We have a moment today while we're all online together to encounter God. You know, as we wrap up this morning, Peter, in his moving from fear, converting it to faith, steps out of the boat. And I was thinking about this, and you can write this down, but or you can just be encouraged. This is what I saw when Peter stepped out of the boat. As he chased after God, his faith got stronger. In verse 29, it says, in the middle of the boat going crazy, the story doesn't stop when craziness is going on. Right now, we're in this moment of uncertainty and the unknown. But the minute you and I decided we're going to go towards Jesus, his faith was growing. Think about it. He was literally out of the boat and started walking on water. So as you chase after God, your faith will grow. As you grow, fear converts to faith. The more you chase after God, the more you seek after him, and you recognize Jesus is there, fear converts to faith. Peter's like, yeah, I'm coming to you, God. I'm coming to you, Jesus. I'm coming hard. And then as your faith grows, you know with full certainty that Jesus stepped in, that he's right there. You don't have to worry. You don't have to doubt. We just focus on Jesus. And this morning, you hung out with us and you popped on and you spent your time not to just have some sort of religious activity, but we all want to have an encounter with Jesus. And you come on here this morning and we know that you are there. Maybe you've been living in fear. We want to pray that faith rises and that you encounter Jesus this week. Or maybe you popped on and you say, Damon, I don't have a relationship with Jesus, but I'm willing to give him a try after spending time with you and Pastor Kai. We want to pray for you today. It's a simple prayer. If you say, yeah, I'm the one, I want to meet Jesus for the first time. It says, Jesus, I acknowledge that you exist. I want to give you a try. You died for me. You rose again. And today I accept you freely in Jesus' name. So you ready to pray for that? And then after we pray that prayer, Pastor Ty will pray for anyone that has a need. So you can put your needs. We're just going to group them all together. Our team will respond. But we're going to leave here knowing that Jesus has stepped into this moment. And we're going to lead with faith. For those of you who are accepting Jesus, after you pray, I want you to text 407-393-8426 so that we can send you an encouragement. Or you can say, that's me. You ready? Here we go. Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I know you're here.
I know you're here.
You died for me.
You died for me.
And you rose again.
And you rose again.
And today I accept you freely.
Today I accept you freely.
As my Lord.
As my Lord.
And my Savior.
And my Savior.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
If that's you, say, write down, it's me, or text 407-393-8426. Let's pray.
Father, we just thank you now for all of us who would say this morning that we are ready to exchange our fears for faith. We thank you that you are faithful, that you are true, to give us overwhelmingly the spirit of fear in exchange for the heaviness that we have. God, I just pray now for the people who are in our healthcare systems, the people who are nervous about caring for loved ones who are older. I thank you, Lord, for pacifying all of our physical fears over the actual health conditions of this nation. We submit our nation back to you, God, and pray that you would heal our land, God, as we confess all of our sins, God, but that we would just acknowledge that you are God of it all. And God, we just pray that in all of these things that we face, that you and you alone would be the hero of this story. We thank you, God, for doing this and more. In Jesus' mighty name we pray this morning. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Listen, City Place, we are so proud of you. It's always such a joy for us to gather together, living room to living room, heart to heart. We have a couple of things that are here for you. Number one, we don't do life alone. And just because we're virtual doesn't mean we do life alone. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
No.
So we want you to get connected. We have tons of virtual groups, our men, our women, our youth, every facet that you can think of has a virtual group ready for you. You do not have to be in Orlando to be in one of our virtual groups. So you are officially invited, and I don't know what you're waiting on.
That's
it
right,
is
right now.
cityplacechurch.com/citygroups, and you can find one that is right for you. We can't wait to see your face throughout the week. And you guys should know that Tuesdays at 2, this face right here comes to you with encouragement from the Word, because sometimes
talk about prayer this week.
It's a good pickup from what we talk about Sundays to Sunday and go into a little bit of a deeper dive. So, you know, my heart is to see you and to see you grow even during this time. And it's been such a wonderful time to be able to do that virtually as well.
That's right. So, hey, click on the link right now. I promise you that you will enjoy it. It's on the Zoom platform, so we'll actually get a chance to see your faces. You'll get a chance to spend some time with some other new faces. We've even got a group for new faces.
Woo woo!
So if you popped on, you're like, well, I don't know anybody. Hey, listen, we've got a group just for you, so now you can all grow together. The final thing that we do is we believe in worshiping God with our giving. And this week, I want to give a shout out to all of you who gave last week, because this week we were able to be a blessing to doctors and nurses and hospital officials in our city. We just sent them a treat. We got word that they were feeling a little tired, if you can imagine. And not only were we able to send them something physically, we also got a chance to pray with them. And so as you give, we are going to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I actually got an email this week. I was telling you that I'll tell you guys. I got an email from someone who was watching, and they said, Pastor Damon, we've been impacted with our income in our home, but please don't stop encouraging us in our giving, because we still want to be a blessing to someone else that may not have everything that they need.
Yeah.
And it blessed me, because I thought, the Church of Jesus Christ shows up at life's toughest moments to represent Jesus well.
To represent Jesus well, and we will continue to do that. And so this is what how we take our gifts together as a church family. We believe in tithing and also in giving sacrificially. And you know, this crisis, we suspect, will have some lasting impacts both now and also ripple effects moving forward. And isn't it going to be so amazing that the Church of Jesus is going to be ready to be a blessing now, which we're on the hunt doing that, and also in the future, as people's hearts are still soft, to hear from God and to receive from His church. So we are just excited to partner with you this morning. And thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your generosity. And thank you, no matter where you are, you can give very, very simply, cityplacechurch.com/give. And we will make sure that that gets used for the glory of God.
We will continue to celebrate all that God is doing through your giving and the impact that we're making in our city. And we're still sending things missionally, internationally as well. And so thank you. Let's pray over that. Father, we love you. We thank you that we've heard from you and we've been challenged. God, we thank you that we're going to chase after you. Let the prayers that we pray be one where we hear from you, not just giving you a list of requests, but a dialogue. Let the word of God that as we open it come alive and speak to us and build our faith. Bless everyone who is giving today, and let the Church of Jesus Christ all over the world be your hands and feet as we care for those around us. Shine, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you with all of our heart.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or, if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.